This is In the News for February 2nd, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First up today from the New Standard at newstandardnews.net, written by Brendan Coyne, Wildlife Service promotes promoter of fraudulent science. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service last week announced that it had elevated an official long criticized for his attempts to remove Florida panthers from the endangered species list. The promotion came even as the Fish and Wildlife Service admitted earlier this week that the panthers are being crowded out by development. Friday, the agency announced it was awarding James J. Slack, the previous field supervisor for the FWS in southern Florida, to the deputy director's post of a Midwestern regional office. Slack has worked for the FWS for 14 years, eight of which he spent as the head of the Southern Florida office. During his tenure there, the Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, or PEER, and other environmental groups sought to derail his efforts to open more protected habitats to developers. The Fish and Wildlife Service South Florida Ecological Service Field Office in Vero Beach, Florida, pushed to, quote-unquote, delist the Florida panthers under Slack's leadership, arguing that they were well on their way to recovery and that the available habitat was ripe for the species to expand. PEER and the Fish and Wildlife Service scientist Andrew Eller Jr. filed a complaint over the matter with the Department of the Interior in March 2004. In his own work, Eller found that a previous study contained unverifiable and misleading information, an allegation confirmed later by the FWS itself. According to a July 2004 notice sent to the Army Corps of Engineers, SWS admitted it, quote-unquote, mischaracterized the contemporary numbers of panthers in Florida and the necessary habitat to sustain and grow the population. Despite the admission, Eller was fired the day after the 2004 general elections, and he immediately made his case public with PEER's assistance. Days before his scheduled hearing over the termination, FWS and Eller reached a settlement, and he is again working on the Florida Panther Project. Eller's claims that his agency has an inappropriately close relationship to powerful real estate developers to the detriment of the SWS's mission are not unique. A survey conducted jointly by the United Union of Concerned Scientists and PEER early last year illustrated that many at FWS believe their agency is swayed by politics. The study, which surveyed 1,400 FWS scientists, found that overwhelming numbers had little or no respect for agency managers and that nearly half felt that political and other concerns had undue influence on FWS decision-making. This, again, from the New Standard News and written by Brendan Coyne. And our second story is also written by Brendan Coyne from the New Standard News. And again, that website is newstandardnews.net. This dated February 1st, settlement exposes asbestos fund as quote-unquote bailout. Controversial congressional plans to erect a federally backed, privately funded trust for victims of asbestos exposure may, according to a prominent public interest group, undermine settlements recently reached by a handful of companies. Consumer advocate Public Citizen raised the concerns in reaction to news that the world's largest wallboard manufacturer had brokered a multi-billion-dollar deal to settle current and future asbestos-related personal injury claims. Monday, Illinois-based USG Corp. announced the creation of a $900 million trust fund to pay out asbestos-related claims. The company also said the trust holds more than $3 billion in quote-unquote contingency notes, which are essentially corporate IOUs. USG, which is working to emerge from nearly 5 years of bankruptcy largely attributed to asbestos damage claims, noted that legislation set for full Senate consideration as early as next week could absolve the company of the second portion of the liability. The company backs the bill, called the Fairness in Asbestos Injury Resolution, or FAIR, Act of 2005. As previously reported by the New Standard, FAIR would establish a $140 billion fund for asbestos-related damages and curtail virtually all lawsuits related to asbestos claims. According to USG, the company will pay the $3 billion in two installments. The first, $1.9 billion, would be paid into the fund 30 days after the close of the current congressional session, and the remaining $1.15 billion is due 6 months after Congress convenes. But, the company noted, quote, if before the adjournment of the current session, Congress passes legislation establishing a national asbestos personal injury trust fund, such as the FAIR Act, the contingent note will be canceled and no additional payments will be made unless that legislation is later found unconstitutional, end quote. Throughout last year, both consumer and business groups attacked FAIR, the former because of perceived pro-corporate bias engendered by caps on payments to asbestos victims, and the latter because the act could leave companies leave out companies open to lawsuits should the trust become insolvent. Pointing to USG's announcement that FAIR would cancel the larger portion of the company's commitment, the watchdog group Pacific Public Citizen warned in a statement Monday that the agreement will likely serve as a roadmap for corporations seeking to lessen their asbestos-related burden. There's more on this at the New Standard at newstandardnews.net. And finally today, from High Country News, their latest issue, their website is hcn.org. This is from their hotlines section of their newspaper. Forest Service shuts down three old geezers. 80-year-old retiree Stuart Brandborg wouldn't appear threatening to most people in his hometown, Hamilton, Montana. Brandborg's father, Guy, ran the Bitterroot National Forest, headquartered in the town from 1935 to 1955. Brandborg's own career included stints with the Forest Service and national conservation groups. But when Brandborg tried to attend a forest press conference in Hamilton last September 22nd, he found his way blocked by an armed, flak-vested law enforcement officer. The unusual face-off seemed to validate concerns that the 2003 Healthy Forest Restoration Act will undermine public involvement in agency decisions. The current forest supervisor, Dave Bull, held the press conference to release an environmental impact statement for a thinning project, the first logging in the Northern Rockies authorized by the act. Some residents and local officials who support the agency's plan to log about 6,500 acres were invited to the press conference, but guards prevented two other environmentalists from attending. All three of the excluded are leaders of the Friends of the Bitterroot. The group proposes logging only 1,600 acres and says that 98% of the 10,000 comments on the EIS, or the Environmental Impact Statement, backed its plan. Bull later apologized for excluding the critics. A Forest Public Affairs officer told the Missoulian newspaper, quote, "We wanted to focus on the project's merits," end quote. The environmentalists are now pressing a federal lawsuit against Bull and the Bitterroot National Forest, claiming their civil rights were violated. The show of hostility trumped on, quote, "all the precepts of good government," according to Brandborg. He also said we were three old geezers with pieces of paper and pencils. That, again, is from High Country News at hcn.org. This has been Scott Bergwin from KSOW LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon, and in the news for February 2nd, 2006. We'll talk to you next time.